Hey, everybody. Rob Sisternino here, just getting you ready for what you're about to listen to. Sorry I can't be here with you tonight for the very engaging Big Brother 20 Sunday night recap. But Taryn is going to hold it down for me and for you tonight, so get ready for that. I also want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at True Car, because if you're looking to buy a car, just like maybe Victor and Nicole might be starting off in life, they might say, hey, we need a car too. You might be familiar with the term like MSRP. They might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. That's why there's True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car that you want, including the fees and the accessories, before you even get to the dealership. And a True Car dealer will show you the true price on a car like the one that you want, all from the comfort of your home. And how do you know if your True Price is a great price? Because True Car will show you what other people paid for the same car that you want. And your certified dealer knows this, so they set their True Price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features aren't available in all states. Enjoy the show, and I'll be back with you on Wednesday night for the Power of Veto recap on Rob Has a Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. Coming to you live from Taryn's apartment. It's Rob as a Podcast, starting in a very professional manner. I'm your host, Tara Armstrong. With me today, you heard her. It's Paris, winner of Big Brother Canada 6. How's it going, Paris?
Hi, it's going well. How are you?
Doing very well. Very excited to have Paris on with us tonight. Also joining me, Melissa Denny. How you doing, Melissa?
I am doing really great. Now, Paris just complimented my eyes right before we started. It got me off guard a little bit.
I didn't know we're just starting. And I'm like, I should say it before we start so people don't think like I'm being creepy about it. But
you know, I'm trying to throw you off your game.
I know. Wow. Is this all part of the strategy?
Yeah, you know, I'm still playing Big Brother.
How can I make Melissa get off?
When the time comes for Tyler to cut Angela before the competition that she needs to win, he's going to be like, by the way, you smell like a baby and it's wonderful. And she's going to be totally thrown off the whole time. It's going to be terrible.
It works, you know, it totally works.
Yes.
You might be witnessing another proposal here tonight, Paris and I. I don't know what's happening, but...
They met a short few months ago. Melissa watched Paris for a long period of time on the internet. It finally came together.
I slid into the DMs, complimented her eyes, and it's just...
That's how love happens these days.
Yeah.
What are we even going on about this? We're all dry. That's so my bad.
We are here to talk about...
Last time, yeah, it took us like 3 hours to get to an episode, and that's my bad, so I'll stop.
We are here to talk about tonight's episode of Big Brother 20, and I feel like this is an appropriate start to this podcast, because this is how the episode felt watching to me. We're here on a Sunday night. We just watched... I'm not sure it was Big Brother 20. It might have been some other kind of show, but it was called Big Brother 20 at the very least, so we are here. I'm wearing some plaid in honor of Rob, who is not with us tonight. He is spending some time at Legoland with his family, so wish Rob some luck, you know, with his Legos.
Good luck with your Legos, Rob.
Yeah, have fun, Rob.
Yes. All right, let's talk about this episode, because I feel like we were playing Big Brother and Rob just blindsided me. He had this big plan in the works. He was like, all right, I've been in talks with the Big Brother editors. I know what they're planning on Sunday night. Let's stick Taryn with this episode where, man, let's talk about what happened here. We got sniffing. We got life stories, we got engagements, and just a little taste of hula hooping. So it's a pretty good Big Brother episode overall, right, Paris?
Yeah, I mean, it felt like you said, a little bit of the Bachelorette in there, but you know, I enjoyed it. We got like a nice little glimpse into their engagement. Do you guys think that was like, do you think they talked about that beforehand, or do you think that was like she was actually surprised in that moment? Because I was wondering that, I wasn't sure.
I felt like she was surprised to me. Feel like if she wasn't surprised, she would have been able to like respond better. She was definitely surprised about the haircut. I definitely surprised about that at the very least.
I think we all were. I was like, who's this man who's like walking in all like slowly? I was like, who is this guy? And I was like, oh my God, that's Victor?
That's Victor.
Yes.
No, I mean, I liked it. I mean, and the thing is, I don't know if it's just being in the house. Like, I don't know what strengthens that bond, if it's just the people that they choose. But like, it's really interesting to see how many successful relationships have come out of the show. Like, that to me, that's, I don't get it. I don't know if it's just like the pressure cooker in there. Like, if you're with someone for like a couple of months, it feels like an eternity. And you're like, if I could get through that with them, I could get through life with them. I don't know if it's that, but it's kind of interesting to see them like get engaged like one after another. Like, we just had Jessica and Cody, and like, who knows what's going to happen with the showmances this year.
Yeah, we've had more successful relationships on Big Brother than on The Bachelor, which is crazy.
Easily, yeah.
I mean, that's wild. Now we have a bunch of Big Brother babies, too. And then, you know, when they're old enough, they will then compete for the ultimate Big Brother champion.
Honestly, I think the more impressive stat is I'm pretty sure that there are more successful Big Brother relationships than Survivor relationships. Which Survivor has more cast members per season and twice as many seasons as Big Brother. So they have a much bigger pool to choose from. And still, the Big Brother relationships. They're really
the house. Yeah.
Although
come
to be fair, people look very gross on Survivor, so maybe that acts as a hindrance to any people hooking up.
It's really really disproving the if you can handle me at my worst theory.
Like, I cannot.
No. All right, so let's start with the engagement. That's, I guess, the biggest story of the night. You know, we had a winner of Big Brother 18, Nicole Franzel, come in. She's thinking she's going to host a luxury competition, as though Big Brother 20 would give any of these house guests any luxuries. She's looking around the house. She's like, where are they? Nicole being Nicole, of course, she thinks like there's a prank being pulled on her. Like, oh, they must not like me. What's going on? I don't like this. This is a strange entrance, Melissa.
That was a very strange entrance. I don't know what I would do if I was in her position, like walking in, being all ready to host the comp and expecting the house guests to be standing right at the door, and then they're not there, and you're just like wandering through an empty house, and you know people are watching you wander through an empty house. So it's just an awkward situation all around, but I feel like it was really fitting for Nicole.
I feel like surely there must have been some amount, like in her head, she must have thought like, are they going to try and like trap me in here again? Like, am I going to be stuck playing this game or something? Like, what's going on? Well, what's going through my head? Paris, what would you have thought if you were in this situation?
Well, I mean, for her, she's come back a second time and she's won, but I would for sure think, I wouldn't think I'm coming back into the house to play, but I would 100% think like something's going on, something's not right. But I wonder, I keep going back to like the behind the scenes. I'm like, I wonder if like Victor flew out there with her. So like she knew that she was going to see him in there. I don't know. I'm
so into it.
I don't know.
Because they must have both flown out there.
But I mean, again, she was surprised about the haircut.
Yeah,
so clearly she hadn't seen him in some period of time.
That's true. Yeah.
At least an hour.
Yeah.
I guess
overall it was cool. Go ahead. Sorry.
I assume maybe they like contacted Nicole and they were like, we just want you, not Victor. And Victor was like, and he probably was like pretending to be like, oh, you know, you go. They don't care about me. But it was just so weird. So the Victor comes up on the screen and he starts talking about their relationship. It's very sweet. Even though they did have to sort of, Pauly Calafiore during the Ziggy Marley concert style, remove Corey from all of the Big Brother 18 cuts.
I wonder if people watching who aren't like super fans are going to be like, wasn't that a different guy? Wasn't that someone else? Or was it Victor the whole time? I could totally see that happening.
Yeah, I bet there are people that were like, oh, that was so sweet. I remember she was so in love.
She was so in love and then she won the season. Wow. Yeah. Revisionist history.
That got me a little bit, though. I'm not going to lie. I was like watching. I was like, oh, my God, that's so sweet. And like, keep going on. He's like, and you're the blank. And you fill the blank every time. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I didn't expect myself to be so moved. I was like, wow, well done. Like, I liked it. I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
Mundane episode. I thought it was like.
I realized that I am a total sucker. And I fall for these things and I'm like, oh, my God, that's so sweet. Even though before that, I was like, who cares? Whatever. But the second he's all like talking to her and she's like crying, I'm like, oh, man, this is great. So, yeah, sorry. I'm a sucker. Everyone.
I was definitely like the biggest showman's hater before I went on my season. And for some reason, ever since my season, I'm just like, I'm rooting for you. Yes. Like I'm suddenly into them. But like, oh, did I hated it because to me, it felt like. You're not really playing the game anymore. You know, your priorities change a little bit because there's just so much downtime in the house that it would be hard to go and try and talk strategy if you have someone that you like upstairs that's willing to cuddle up with you and you guys just have fun. Like you're not, and I kind of think that's what's happening with Tyler and Angela, but we'll get there, I'm sure.
Yeah, yes. No, I totally agree with that. I do think it totally takes away from your ability to like successfully like really strategize and play the game. And I think that that's why like this sort of situation where it's like after the show and they're like getting engaged, I'm like, oh, that's sweet. But then all of a sudden you see like a Tangela segment and I'm like, oh, boring. Get it over with. But then I'm like about to cry with like the Victor proposal. So I think once it's like removed from the game, then I can like root for people. But otherwise, yeah. I'm like, come on, let's just play the game.
Well, Victor and Nicole did it right, where they got together after the season. Granted, she was with somebody else during the season, but it's very much the Danny and Dom kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Even though they were like definitely getting close in the house, and then we did. He comes out, but it was especially weird to see Victor with the haircut and the clean shaven face because he was in the video. With the beard and the long hair. And so he just completely looked like a different person. And I think that Nicole was a little bit like, wait, are you Victor?
Yeah, who is this guy?
I have a strong feeling I'm about to be proposed to, but you were not the person I was expecting.
not this guy.
I felt like she was more surprised. Like, there was a moment where he like opened the ring up and like she was like, oh my God, but like your hair, like where's the beard? And I was like, but the ring.
Let me first look at you again. It felt like she like kissed him really quick and then was like, hold on, wait, let me look at you.
I'm not being pranked, right? This is
Victor, right?
Okay. Are we on board with team beard and long hair Victor or team clean shaven short haircut Victor?
I feel like I'm at least team like stubble Victor.
Yeah.
I feel like the clean shaven's a little too far, maybe.
Yeah, and like you could never go wrong with like a nice little like 5 o'clock shadow, like something there, you know? Because I feel like he just looked so different. But maybe we're just not used to it. I personally like a little bit of a beard. Mm-hmm. The hair, you could get probably a little cut because it was like really long. It was like getting to my hair length, but like, I would say, yeah.
I feel like there's a nice middle ground that he'll find. Yeah.
Yeah.
Karen's just, like, and what did you like on me?
look, I'm fishing. I'm fishing for advice here. I've got two beautiful women with me.
Yeah, I feel kind of bad because the last time Karen and I spoke, people DM me and be like, wow, you really were hitting on him. And I was like, really? I was like 20 minutes and 30 seconds in. I was like, I did not realize it.
They're like, check the tape.
Those are the same people that make the compilation videos for the showmances on Big Brother. Yep. They have them all the timestamps ready.
It's so fun.
Yeah, so
showmances.
Yeah, Victor proposes, Nicole says yes, and then we get all these other house guests coming back in, and we did it. We managed to get Paul on his third numbered season in a row. Of course, this does not count OTT, which he was also in the house for. Paul, he just can't get out of this house, Melissa.
Yeah, seriously. I honestly was wondering like how they chose the select group of people that came to celebrate with them. Like, how did they choose these house guests? I mean, some of them make a little bit of sense because you've got Derek from her season and you've got Paul. But then you also have like Josh thrown in there and you've got Danny in there and Brittany. Okay, they were like on The Amazing Race. Maybe they became friends. I don't know. But it was like just a strange combination of past house guests.
You just made me realize why Brittany and Nicole connected. There's probably the Amazing Race. That's probably it.
Yeah, I was just going to say the exact same thing. I didn't really even think about the connection at first. And now that I think about it, that, yeah, it doesn't really add up either. Like,
yeah.
I wonder why Danielle was there.
And then they, like, never mentioned the fact that they're about to be on The Amazing Race. I thought that was a little weird that it was like, oh, we connected on the season and then we started dating afterwards. And then they didn't continue with, like, and then we got to be on The Amazing Race. Like, I know they don't want to spoil it or something, but, like, we already know they're going to be on it, right? I mean, isn't that common knowledge or?
Pretty sure. I mean.
Yeah. So it's weird that they didn't even mention it at all. And it's also a CBS show. So it's not like, oh, we can't mention it.
It's a different network. Yeah.
Weird.
But it was very nice to see Brittany back in the house, Danny back in the house. These people they've been out of this house for too long. Brittany in the diary room talking about, oh, we've got Jon Snow over here and Farm Girl Nicole. And they're so cute. They're so, like, even in her compliments, she's a little shady.
I love it. I don't know how many times I've watched this, like, compilation video of Brittany on YouTube. That's just, like, funniest Brittany Haynes moments. And I don't remember how old I was, but, like, I remember that's when I initially watched it. And I think I've probably watched it, like, 30 or 40 times by now. Like, an obsessive amount. Just, like, not okay, but, like, I know every single thing that she said in every DR now because I went through that obsessive stage, like, when I was younger. I've probably gotten a little bit better now. I'm like, okay, it's just a game show. Calm down. But I was definitely that person that, like, watched every single one of, like, her compilations on YouTube. I like her a lot.
She's so funny. She's so, so awesome.
So it was, quick, so witty. Yeah. Like,
I loved seeing both her and Danny back. It was really fun. Like, obviously, we've seen the other people. They're fine, you know, but we've seen them pretty recently. But we have not seen Danny or Brittany on Big Brother anytime soon. So it was really, really fun to be able to see them in the DR again. And it kind of gave you, like, a taste of what All Stars could be.
Mm, yeah.
And is this right after Danny had her baby, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I think she did.
Yeah, she, like, had her baby. Yeah. She looked great.
So cool. She did.
You never would have known. Yeah.
No, never. No. Never.
But I did like, she was like, I wish Dom had done this with me. No, just kidding. But not really.
That was great.
Like, do the casual fans even know that she married Dom? Because I feel like they haven't really done a proper segment on Danny and Dom.
Yeah, they haven't done anything.
Which is weird because they're, like, the most adorable Big Brother couple, like, in my opinion.
They're really great. Yeah. I really like them.
All right. So we, of course, also got Derek back in the house. We just saw him the night on Thursday night. We got Josh. Josh is here. Happy to see Josh looking good. He's going to bring meatballs and pots and pans to their wedding. That's I'm sure that's going to be very welcome, Paris.
Oh, my gosh. I actually love Josh. I got to talk to him after I was off my season. And, like, he's a really funny, great guy. And, like, I feel like maybe I, as a viewer, didn't get to fully see, like, the other cool side of Josh on the show. But, like, getting to talk to him after the fact was just awesome. So, like, I'm just saying that he's a great person all around. And it was just nice to see him on the show. Like, he just won. I want to see him back. Why not?
Yeah. I did not like him on his season, but when he was on the podcast recently, I absolutely loved everything he had to say. I felt like he was super, knowledgeable about what was going on, and he had a really good take on everything. And it totally changed my perspective of him.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the Big Brother 20 house guests do exist in this episode. They ended up coming downstairs eventually, and we got some lines from each of them. I thought this was so funny. Everyone's, like, basking in the, like, happiness of the engagement, and they're all hanging out downstairs. And then we cut to Haley, who is, like, just looks so somber in the DR, like she always does. And it's like, oh, is she going to be, like, really down on this? But then she, like, brightened up a little. We got happy Haley in the diary room for one of the first times.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, like, I fully understand, like, her position in the house. First of all, it's been way too long. Like, at this point, I mean, we weren't even in the house for this long. We were only in the house for, like, 69 days. But I think by day 62, I genuinely felt like a crazy person. Like, I wasn't acting like myself. I was not a sane person. And, like, imagine being the last one from, like, your alliance left. Imagine knowing, like, there's no chance that you're gonna get to the end, because no matter what is, if you don't win the next competition, you're going home. And it's like, nothing makes you happy. I remember they got me to like redo a scene like 3 times for like getting like to our party, because I was just so sad. It was like right after like Will and Maddie and everyone from my like alliance had left. And they're like, can we get you to be a little bit more excited? And I'm like, yay! And like a little bit more. So I'm like, oh my God, this party is so great. And like, I hated my life. I just wanted to be out of it. So like I fully, and that's a reason why like I'm such a big fan of Haley. It's because she's not the best game player, but I just relate to her. Like, I know how she's feeling in there right now. It sucks. Yeah, so does it make you happy? Like, you see your idol, she probably sees Nicole, and she's like, I've been waiting to see Nicole forever, but like, this isn't making me happy, because like, this, my life in the game is about to end, you know?
Yeah,
that's true. And plus, she's in such like a helpless and hopeless position where really she does have to win the veto, and it really doesn't seem like anybody is open to strategizing with her or letting her in or talking with her like at all. It just seems like they are all just a brick wall, and there's nothing she can do about it. And I'm sure that, like, obviously it sucks to be on the block and know that you're the target and you're probably going home, but the fact that you can't even do anything about it and no one is letting you even try, it's just, you know, I mean, even with the montage today about every time she said I'm with you or you have me, it was like ding ding ding, it was like mocking her, and she's just trying, she's trying everything she can, and Casey's just like not willing to hear it. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I felt for her.
We also heard from Tyler, who is happy to be in a house full of legends. It motivates him to step up his game so he can live up to half of what they are. Always nice to see people appreciating. And of course, he's pretending to not know who they are at the same time, which is always funny. And then we can rewind a bit. Angela's going to talk about her sense of smell. Which
again
was so we just got this Angela segment before all of this proposal stuff, where she starts off talking about how her least favorite food is PB&J, at which point I was like, oh, you are lucky that you did not play on earlier seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, punishment as peanut butter and jelly.
Now she's lucky. I would take that over a slop, though.
I love peanut butter and jelly. You can do a lot with bread and jam and peanut butter. Come on.
Can I just say, I recently had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for the first time in a while, and it was absolutely delicious.
It's great. You toast the bread a little bit, you get it all nice. It's great. I love it. Very good.
Well, she starts talking. She hates the way that peanut butter and jelly sandwiches smell. She has a particular thing about smell. It's like a superpower. And she goes on to describe how each house guest smells. I want you guys to let me know if you're surprised by any of these. Haley smells like Moroccan oil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds all right. Putting in her hair.
She smells great.
I can see that.
It's not surprising. Brett smells like a frat house fish and beans.
First of all, didn't you say like a fish and beans party at a frat house? Which also, like, what is a fish and beans party? Like, that's not a real party.
I don't know. I assume it involves beans and fish, but look, I was not in a fraternity, so I don't know what kind of euphemisms they have.
Also, like, that is a horrible smell. Like, he must smell so bad.
I mean, he does sweat through his shirts quite a bit.
I was just saying the same thing, but I was like, don't say it, don't say it.
He definitely does. He needs some, like,
I believe that.
Deodorant.
Yeah. JC, he just smells like sweat because he's a moist individual.
Yep. Not great.
That's never something you want.
It's my aspiration one day to be able to feel like I can justifiably call somebody a moist individual. It's
I just hate that word. I just hate it so much. Like, yes. They got us to write little because you fill out this like form before you go onto the show, and they got like us to fill one out, and talks about like, what's your favorite word? Like, what's your least favorite word? Now write a poem with it. And my least favorite word was moist. And I go on to the next question. It says, write a poem with it.
Oh my God.
Oh, sorry, guys. My potty mouth. I apologize.
What was the poem with moist?
Oh, I don't remember. It was something along the lines of, I think I wrote a haiku. It was like, something about hating the word moist, and it was just awful, but let's not use the word anymore. Let's move on.
Sam smells musty like her grandmother. I guess it's not surprising.
I feel like none of these are compliments.
No.
Like, none of these are great. Oh, until we get to certain people.
Yeah.
Yeah, Casey's mild. She's neutral. But Tyler, he just smells amazing all the time. She doesn't know what it is. He never smells bad ever. And I feel like this whole thing was just a way of counter campaigning against the Zingbot message from previously in the season when Zingbot was calling Tyler greasy and kind of gross. Now. Yeah. Now we're getting the opposite mess. Angela's trying to correct his image here and say, no, he smells amazing.
Yeah, I just feel like all of these smells combined into one house sounds just terrible. I don't want to be in a house with all these various competing smells that most of them aren't very good. So, yeah, this was like such a ridiculous segment. There was no point to it. And it just went on for so long. Like, I'm almost positive we had an entire segment of the show on it. Like, there was a commercial break, then we had Angela's smells, and then we had another commercial break. And I was like, what was the point of any of this? What did I just watch?
I wish that we had commercial breaks in this podcast just so I could have put one before we started talking about it and then after. And then Melissa could have been talking about either the show or this podcast, because I feel like it applies to both, because we're spending a lot of time talking about.
Seriously. Well, then she talks about it later on, too. It's like, hey, remember when I talked about my sense of smell? I'm going to like bring it up again.
Exactly.
Say that, like, they did a Derek callback. Smells good. It's like, oh, my God.
I'm always surprised.
Yeah. As I like the things that they choose to put on the edited show.
Yeah.
Because like I used to be a lot, like I really would watch the feeds, but I'll be honest, this year, probably the past like 3 to 4 weeks, I would say I've seen barely any of it. And it's just such a different ball game. Like being a casual viewer is so different from watching the live feeds. And like it always makes you wonder, because sometimes I watch the edited episode and I'm like, this is so boring, but I know so much went down during the week and like you chose to put in this.
Like, yeah, this like segment? That hula hoop segment where like the punchline was Brett just saying a joke and it wasn't even a good joke. It was like you get around or something. I don't even remember what it was. It was like, what? That was the whole point of this stupid hula hoop segment. Like it was, oh God, there are so way funnier trippy things.
So, yeah, we get through the engagement and the former house guests, at which point Angela just randomly is like, Derek smells so good. And at that point, I was like, okay, clearly she's got something for like Big Brother Masterminds. Like she's got a nose for it. She should be trusting her nose. She should be like, Derek smells so good. Tyler smells so good. Mmm. I figured it out.
I smell a mastermind.
Of course, Casey's going to say, as soon as they leave, Casey's super pumped. Let's go. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. I think shouldn't have said anything. Because, like, now she's like, trying to hammer it home.
She says way more now. Way more. But then we just cut to JC's got a hula hoop. Weird music. Weird jump cuts. And then that's it.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. He has a hula hoop. It's like, isn't JC so cute? Isn't he so funny? What? Don't you love it? It's like, no.
The edit that he's getting definitely does bother me.
This felt like a clip in a larger JC segment that they were like, oh my God, guys, we have nothing for this episode. Give us everything. You've edited that hula hoop clip, right? Let's just put it here. Okay, that buys us another 30 seconds. Okay, Haley's going to talk to Casey. Let's do the thing where she doesn't hear her before she enters. That'll buy us another 30 seconds.
It's crazy. And we have two Haley campaigning segments where essentially it's the same exact thing, mm-hmm. where it's like the same joke or whatever, which is that her saying you have me, and then her leaving and Casey saying like, yeah, no, sorry, you're going on the block. Like it was just as if they were working with literally nothing.
Yeah, there really wasn't much on this episode, though, just in general, because I was trying to take notes because I'm a little nerd like that. I was like, I need to be prepared. And I was like, there's actually not much that's happening
like
right
two
now.
Two sentences.
Yeah.
It's like sense of smell, engagement.
And, yeah. sometimes
I think about really, like, I have copious amounts of notes for this episode. Just way more than I need. I'm scrolling up and down them as we speak, and it's like, the doorbell rings. JC is hula hooping. I have the full notes on Angela's life story.
I've got
what everyone smells like.
This episode was really strange. Like, it was just so strange, so bizarre. I don't know. I don't even know.
I will say the one thing that I kind of like enjoyed seeing, and like, oh my God, people did not like this on Twitter. But, you know, I've realized now that stans are very extreme on Twitter. But, you know, I thought it was nice to at least see why Angela is like the way she is. And I just found out that, like, I think that segment was actually from a couple of weeks back or something, where she's talking to Tyler and she kind of just lets him know, like, I was like, basically, like, me, like, competing in the sport kind of broke my family apart. And like, I had to go through so much as a child that, like, that's kind of why I'm so closed off. And I was like, at least, like, that's nice to see, like, that she's just not, like, stone cold for no reason. Like, at least there's a reason. I know that's not to say that that makes other things that she's done or said okay, but it's still nice to see, like, a human side to her.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed the Angela life story segment. I feel like, you know, in the context of the episode where nothing else happened, it's kind of like, but this is something I wouldn't mind seeing in a normal episode. I would much prefer to see this than like prank number 12 in the house and
you
know, other such random like silly events, because it lets you get to know the people a little better and, you know, what their motivations are, and it humanizes the characters. And I do feel like Angela has been getting a little more natural in the diary room, and we finally are seeing some like genuine emotion from her. She's breaking down as she talks to us about her family and how she blames herself because they didn't have time to spend with each other, and it sort of broke her family apart, and you know, all of this stuff, and she had to hide her emotions. And it's like, this, she is now a human. She is like, people called her furniture all season long, but I feel like, you know, she's a person now to even the more casual viewers who wouldn't have otherwise heard this story. And I like that. I like that part of the show, Melissa.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I feel like you're right that it's kind of tainted because it was in this, it was like put in this episode where we already have nothing going on and we're just like, oh my God, what's the point of even watching this? So it kind of made me like, I wasn't as into it maybe as I would have been had there been like a bunch of gameplay going on outside of it. And then it was like a quick little break being like, hey, this is also going on, like a personal story. But it was just like all of nothing in this episode. And then it's like, oh, and here's also a personal story. It's like, it wasn't as good as had it been put in like more of an exciting episode. But I do agree that like, you need to see this kind of thing. You need to see, you know, the human side of people. And yeah, normally we get it more near the beginning, but nobody really knew what Angela was about back then. So it makes sense that they kind of like held on to it until now. So yeah.
Yeah.
And you, I think you can really tell in the diary room, Tyler is falling hard here. He's really into Angela. Like, she's such a special person. She's been through so much. It's just like, you know, it really, because we've heard him say in the diary room in previous episodes that he plans on cutting Angela. But, you know, he really cares a lot for her. I mean, Paris, you in your house, you had Kayla and Derek, who were a showmance. But all along, Kayla, you know, told us that she planned on cutting Derek at some point down the line. You have some experience being close to this. Well, what do you think about this whole situation?
To be honest with you, I firsthand saw her attitude towards him changed despite what she was saying. So I kind of felt like I believed her a lot more beginning of the season when she was like, oh yeah, I'm going to cut Derek. Of course I am. Like, I have all these other deals going on. But as the season went on, I kind of just started to see how much she really cared for him. And we all kind of just didn't really believe that that was going to be the case. We'll never know because it didn't come to that. But towards, like, I would say the last 3 weeks of the game, I really was starting to think that she was not going to cut him. She did swear to me, I think, like, probably the night before the finale, but, you know, in the Big Brother house, that really doesn't mean anything. Like, what does that mean, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was just, it was weird to see two people that, actually, I don't know if Derek ever said he was going to cut her, but it was interesting to see her go from being so gung-ho on cutting him and then just kind of slowly throughout the season kind of be like, well, he's the only one that has my back. Well, maybe I could win against him. Well, maybe I don't need to get rid of him just yet. Maybe I should hold off. And so I feel like Tyler might be saying one thing now, but until he cuts her at finale, if it happens, there's no way for us to tell. And it might be a little bit easier. I can't say easier, but I can see it being more likely that a guy cuts a girl. I just have never been able to see a girl cut out her guy showmans, make it to the end win, for me to say that that's going to happen on Angela's behalf. But I feel like Tyler is like probably the more likely one to make a move like that.
Yeah, and I also feel like it's a very similar situation to BB Cam, because like in both situations, it might actually be better for them to not cut their showmans. Like Angela, like Tyler taking Angela to the finale might actually be better for Tyler than to say cut Angela for Casey, because yeah. People are, they hate Angela in the jury house. And then I feel like similarly with your season, had Kayla had the opportunity to take either you or Derek, it would have been probably better for her to take Derek than to take you, because you would have won. So, you know, I think it's one of those things where it's like they think, OK, I'm going to make the big move and cut the showmance. But it's like, is that really a good idea when it comes down to who the jury is going to vote for? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Go ahead.
It's interesting because, you know, Tyler, he talks about how he's planning on cutting Angela, but Tyler hasn't really had to betray anyone all season long. Even with Caitlin, who he never really, you know, he was never like, I mean, I think he cared about Caitlin to some extent, but obviously he complained about her as well. But even then, like, he kind of, you know, he was like, somebody else is taking the shot. I'm going to let it happen. And I feel like that's what he's hoping will happen with Angela. But if Tyler has to be the one to look Angela in the eye and say, Angela, I am evicting you. I don't know if he can do that. We haven't seen him have to do that yet. Mm-hmm. I think he's willing to do it to people like Brett, who he knows, like, you know, they have this sort of rivalry going on. I think he's willing to do it to people like JC, who has annoyed him all season long and is on his case about the Tangela thing. But to somebody that you are like legitimately falling for in the house, who would never do this to you, to look them in the eye and actually make the move, I don't know if he actually would do it, Paris.
No, I agree with you. I remember at was it a Final Four in our season, when I was making a case to Kayla about cutting Derek, just based off of like how the jury would see her and all that, there was a couple moments in there where I've never seen Kayla be so conflicted, even though later on when we spoke, she was like, you know what, that actually was the right move for me at the time, because either way I was going to make it to, you know, the final if I did that. But she was so conflicted, and she was so genuinely like I could see her like sweating, and she was like, so like just pacing back and forth. She's like, I don't know what to do. And like, it's hard because that's been your person in the house, you know. But I'm just hoping that Tyler, being a super fan, maybe he realizes that like, this is what I need to do in order to win. But as you said, Melissa, I don't even think that that's the case this season, because you're right. I feel like his chances against someone like Casey would probably not be too good right now, because Casey's actually been trying to have conversations with people before they leave the house and just kind of, you know, do a little bit of jury management. Whereas Angela's pissed a lot of people off in the jury. And so maybe if Tyler takes her, that's actually good for him.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously us as fans, we're like, no, cut your showmans. That's what we want. But it might not have been the best call.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to see Haley, as we talked about, attempt to campaign to Casey, twice, both times, saying, I know it makes sense to put, obviously makes sense for you to put me up. And then we get a, you have me counter, going on. I don't think we ever got a number, but we got a ding. You have me, I have you, but I don't really have anyone, but you know, you have me. And, you know, people having people is great. And when you have me and I have you, then we have each other. Casey was not digging this conversation, Melissa.
No, she was not. And I feel like Haley, I understood what Haley was getting at, but it's like, you need to say more than that. If the thing you're saying to them isn't working or there's no reaction, then you need to say something else or try a different tactic. But just saying the same thing over and over again isn't going to work. I mean, yeah, obviously it's a great first thing to say is like, look, like you have me, you have my vote. Like, but then continue on and say that, like, what are you going to do when it comes down to it? What's your end game? I can be there to help you as a number for you. Like, I want to work with you. I don't care about everyone else. Like, how are you? You know, whatever she's going to say, there's got to be more to it. There has to be more to a pitch than just like, oh, you have me. It's like, yeah, well, I also have a lot of other people. And like, what benefit do you bring to me that everyone else doesn't bring to me? So, yeah, I just feel like she kind of dropped the ball on this campaigning, unfortunately.
Yeah, Paris, what would your tactic be here if you were in Haley's position and, you know, you're a little bit of a lone wolf and you're just trying to make sure, you know, just don't let it be me. You know, just don't put me up on the
ball. Yeah. Honestly, I feel like the one thing that Haley did do wrong, as you said, Melissa, was that you've put this person up. So you going to them and then telling them, oh, I suddenly have you. That's probably going to be the most ineffective thing that, like, you could go. The most ineffective like strategy I could use to stay in the house, because nobody, like not one person can say that they play Big Brother and they forgot about someone that nominated them. Like, you will always remember that. Tyler still talks about Haley putting him up like 3 weeks ago. Yeah. Like, you do not get over that in the house. So I feel like with her, she should have done, maybe gone about it a little bit differently. I think maybe exposing the Tyler-Angela relationship a little bit more, kind of bringing it to light to Casey and just kind of reminding her that, like, we're at the stage where there's six people left in the house. They are now a strong duo. They could win back-to-back and just take each other, kind of emphasizing the fact that, like, those two are now prioritizing each other. And I'm someone that everybody else is kind of coming after anyways. Like, at this point, Haley has nobody. Mm-hmm. So, like, if she were to kind of emphasize the fact that, like, maybe we could make something happen, maybe, and just kind of remind him about the, or remind her about the fact that, like, everybody's coming for Haley anyways. It's not a bad idea to leave her in the house. Like, she can just, she can be a target, she can be a shield for Casey. And once again, just reminding her that there's only six people and 3 weeks of the left, 3 weeks of the game left. And those two have proven that they can win, and you could have them, you know, pull off a little Dayla situation and win back to back in a crucial weeks. And so you never want to leave that in the house. You never want to, you know, have a showmans that can win like that. So I would, that's kind of something that I would probably remind her. But again, because she's put her up before, I just don't know how effective that is, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it really does seem like there's not much room to maneuver here for Haley. As she mentions at the end of the episode, seems like after she's put up on the block next to Sam, she's got to win this veto. That's what she's going to do. She's not going to roll over and die. I was like, have we heard her say this? This is the
like
third week?
Like literally every week. Yeah.
Yep.
You know?
It will like be really... Yeah, it will be really exciting to see level six battle it out, though, eventually, you know, when the time comes. Like, I think that they've been, I mean, I always like the underdogs. I've always kind of rooted for people that are usually not doing the best. But you can't take away from level six's success. Like, they've been an amazing alliance. They've put each other first. They haven't been so selfish as to just make moves that's good for them. They've really... you know, carried each other to the end. And right now I feel like a lot of people in that house deserve to win. And I've been seeing a lot of tweets of like, oh, this person, if for example, Casey and Tyler go to final two and Tyler loses and it was a bitter jury. And I don't know if that's a fair thing to say anymore, because I feel like there's a lot of people in that house that are deserving, that have been playing their asses off. And I don't think that Tyler is the only one anymore. In fact, I feel like Tyler's game's gone down a little bit, in my opinion, because he has spent a lot of time that he should be spending right now in the jury stage, talking to the jury members, getting information out of them, like Brett did with Scotty, like, you know, kind of finding out what happened in the jury house and kind of maneuvering through the jury stage. He's kind of up in the HOH or in a bed with Angela. And so I feel like there's a lot of people that are deserving in the house right now of winning this. So we'll see.
We also heard from Sam about her nomination, and I was a little taken aback by this.
Yeah, I mean, why can't she have this fire in the house? And when it comes to the game, like, literally, it's not even like, if I find out I'm the target this week and they're really trying to get me out, like, this is what's going to happen. Instead, it was like, if they make me look stupid, then I'm going to do all this stuff. It's like, she doesn't care about the game. It's just like, are you going to make me look like an idiot or what? Like, I just wish she had this fire when it came to actual gameplay. Yeah. Oh, man, that was a weird DR to end on.
Tear the doors off the hinges. She will, in this mother effer, she will tear these people apart. They will regret it if she leaves. Since when does she... She's been trying to quit for months. The second they give her a little push, she's like, oh, I don't think so. Yeah, I'm ripping the doors off this mother
like,
effer.
Were you trying to leave? Were you asking to go home? Like, whatever happened with the whole mercy kill thing? Like, I don't even know.
I felt Sam so bad unfair. When Derek was like naming why everybody could win this and then just forgot about Sam. And I was like, I was trying to do my ranking, I forgot about Sam also. So I get it, but
yeah,
I don't know. I just feel like she's not fit to be in that house because she didn't fully grasp what Big Brother was before going in. I don't know if it's true, but I heard she was a recruit and like, there's no way. It sounds fun. Oh, go into this like vacation house where you don't have to like have a job and we'll still, you know, give you something per week and you just kind of like live it up. And it's like, not the case.
Yeah. She went in saying, I thought that she was an actual fan going in because she was able to name a bunch of like older season players. But then it turns out that she just watched a couple highlight videos on YouTube that were like best Big Brother moments or something like that. And so obviously you're only going to see the good stuff going on. You're not going to see like the fights. You're not going to see the downtime. You're not going to see people betraying each other. You're just going to see these like fun Big Brother moments. And so she really didn't know the game at all. She had no idea what she was getting herself into, which was so disappointing after me thinking initially that she was like maybe a super fan, but no way.
Nope.
Yeah. Anything else from the episode that we want to talk about before we get into the live feed spoilers?
I think we really covered it all very thoroughly.
Yeah, I feel like I joined you guys on a not so exciting episode. There was not much to like, not much strategy or anything to talk about. So
yeah,
not much there.
Paris, this is the first time we're hearing from you all season long. So what are some of your general thoughts on the season? Like, who are you liking? What are you thinking?
I mean, I absolutely love the season. It's probably my favorite in quite a few years. Obviously, you guys know this, like we all love a split house. It's been the most exciting just to see them battle it out. Obviously, a little bit more exciting when the Hive still had a chance. But like I said, I think that Level 6 as an alliance is doing a fantastic job. But I think my favorites were Tyler. I think that, who else was it? I think I liked Angela. I liked Rachel. I liked KC. There was a few people in there that I kind of forgot about throughout the season, and then later on kind of started liking Haley just because I felt like I related to her a little bit. I think that the Hive is probably one of the worst alliances in history, but I've never seen an alliance be in power so much and just do so terrible. But you know, they're fun. I like, as a viewer, I like seeing a little bit of everything in a player. Like, I like a player that's fun, that obviously tries to make moves, obviously has a good game, but I don't think it's just about playing a good game. Like, I don't like when there's a couple of weeks in there where I felt like Tyler was doing great, but every time he was in DR, I was just like, man, like, you're so boring to listen to. You know, I wasn't having fun with it. But right now, I'd say Tyler's playing a great game, obviously. Casey's been doing great with her jury management. Now she's winning comms. I like that she stayed quiet the first half. It allowed her to, you know, get to where she is now. JC's actually, you know, playing a decent game. I just think I'm a little bit biased because I don't really like him on a personal level, but that's kind of tough to say now having been inside the house. I know you can't fully judge someone based on what they say in the house, but you do get a glimpse into their personality based on the things that they say and the way they handle situations. So on a personal level, I'm not the biggest JC fan, but you know, the fact that he hasn't been nominated yet and he hasn't won anything yet and he's still there, that's awesome. But I'm surprised that he still thinks somehow he's like part of level six. Like he continues to work for them. And it's like, do you really think you're part of it? Like, what made you think that? So not the biggest JC fan, but Sam, I had high hopes for going into the season. And I think she let me down a little bit, but I don't know if I can blame her because I really don't think that she knew what she was getting into. And like, I don't think she should have been cast in the first place. You know, you can't force someone that wants to leave every day to play Big Brother. Like, it's just their heart isn't in it. You got to love the game to like wake up every day and be like, going to do this again all day. Who am I leaving out? Angela. I liked her a lot at the beginning, kind of lost interest in her halfway through the season, I would say. I think that she's stepping it up. Probably now, not now, I'd say maybe like last week she was doing well, the week before that. But now I kind of feel like she's spending a little too much time with Tyler, which I think is going to cause her. Mm-hmm. And I guess the one thing that I should say that's really surprised me is just the lack of jury management on these guys. Like, your goodbye messages, man. Are you kidding me? Have you not watched the show? That's the last thing that they see before they walk out the door. So if they leave with a bitter taste in their mouth, like they're going to remember that when it's time to vote. And people can say whatever they want about the game and Big Brother as a whole, but we've seen the jury vote with emotion every single time. Like, we know this. Like, we know that they always remember how you made them feel in the house. So why would you, like, be rude to them in your goodbye message? Or why would you pull a Paul, like, with JC and say, oh, Scotty, I don't know what happened. It's like, no, own your game. Or even with Tyler, I feel like he's playing an amazing game, but he's not owning his moves. And I think that that's something that's going to cost him.
Yeah. I mean, you were a big fan before you went on the show. You won Big Brother Canada 6, which ended very recently. Just a few weeks after you get out of the house as the winner, Big Brother 20 starts up. How does it change your experience watching the show as a somebody who not only just played a few weeks ago, but as a winner of the show?
To be honest with you, because I didn't watch my season back, it didn't really hit me until, the first time that it kind of like took me by surprise was I was watching Big Brother 20 and then I saw the commercial break of Big Brother Canada in the next season coming up and I saw my face on there and I just lost it because I was like, I know this happened like 4 or 5 months ago at this point, but like to me it's new because like I haven't watched any of it.
Have you still not watched
now,
it?
I've watched 3 episodes now. getting into it. I know. I'm slowly getting into it. It's really surreal. And like the other cool thing about it is just like I was talking to like Caitlin a couple of days ago and I was like, that's so weird. Like I just saw her in the intro video and I get to talk to her. And like that aspect of it to me is still like so new. Like I'm still such a fangirl about it. And I'm still like, oh my gosh, she's from like BB 20. We're like, were you on Big Brother? And I'm like, oh yeah, I guess so. But because I never watched it back, I think that I don't feel that way. Like I still feel like a fan.
What's your reasoning for not watching? I feel like, I mean, I don't know. Cause like I haven't been in the house and I know a lot of people come out and they don't watch their season, but I feel like I would immediately be like, okay, what happened? I want to see all the live feeds. I want to see everything. Like,
it's a couple of different things. One being that, I don't want to see myself make an idiot of myself or be annoying or make anybody feel bad. Or it's just, you know, I'm a human being and I make mistakes and I'm very hard on myself. I'm my own biggest critic. And so I guess if I were to see a scene where I'm just like being super annoying, it's like I would think that would just bother me. Like I'd be like, why was I doing that? Like, why was I like, did I really just do a baby voice there? Or like, did I just like, I don't know, just little things like that. I just get secondhand embarrassment. And I'm like, because, you know, you're on there 24/7. So like, you're bound to have like really embarrassing moments caught on camera. And it's just like the thought of like me having done this in front of like the entire country just kind of embarrasses me. Cause like, I'm a weird one. You guys saw on the feeds, like me running around screaming, like that's not something I want to see on TV. Cause I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed that I'm so weird like that. But
to be honest, from what I remember, I remember you looking good on the episodes and not like, I don't remember anything where I'd be like, whoa, like that's so crazy. I don't think so, but maybe I'm wrong, but like, I don't remember it. I would just say, go ahead. Yeah, don't be afraid to watch it. I don't think you have anything to be afraid of.
Yeah, I've for the most part, I've kind of been hearing that, like, hey, like, you're good, your edit was good, you're fine, like, it's not anything bad, but it's just sometimes, like, hard to watch.
We did get some information about, people have been asking about America's Favorite Player on Big Brother 20.
Right.
We did get some information from Alison Grodner, I believe, herself, who said that the final two are, in fact, eligible to win America's Favorite Player. So, Paris, who do you want to endorse for America's Favorite Player this season?
You know what? I'm going to go with my own personal opinion, and some people might not like it, but my pick is Haley. I think that, you know, she's the last one from her alliance standing. Whether or not she's played the best game, she's tried. Her HOH was kind of stolen by the hacker a little bit. She had her alliances go home on her own HOH. And I still think she was entertaining. I think she proved me wrong. I thought she was going to be some bland white girl, and she definitely proved me wrong. And I love that she's been so mature, and I love that. Like, I know this is weird to say, but, like, to me, the fact that she went with, like, so many people of color, like, I know this is a weird thing to say to you guys, but, like, as a person of color, it's, like, I like seeing that. I like that she was inclusive. I like that she wasn't, like, you know, like, oh, yeah, I'm just not even going to align with you guys. Like, she gave the outsiders a chance. Like, best friends with Rockstar. Like, I would never think that. I would never think Haley would be best friends with Rockstar. So I just feel like I like her as a person. I'm not sure if she's the best player, but I just like her as a person. So I would endorse Haley probably. I think the other two people that I would like to see take it, if it's not Haley, would be Brett or Tyler. I know.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's a weird one, but.
No, I think it's a good answer.
All right. Let's start talking about the feeds then. I do not have the spoiler song, but, you know. There's gonna be spoilers ahead. Of course, if you are gonna jump out now because you don't want to hear the spoilers, thank you for joining us. We will be back. I will be live tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happened today on the feeds, and then we will be back Wednesday nights to recap Wednesday night's episode of Big Brother 20, and of course Tuesday night we've got the LFC roundtable where we will update the stock watch, and Brent will be there. We'll argue about things. It'll be great. So make sure you tune into all of that. But for now, there will be spoilers. So
the Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
All right. Let's spoilers, talk about the spoilers. Let's talk about the spoilers. Melissa, what happened with the veto?
Once again, Casey won veto.
There you go.
In 2 minutes.
Yes. They had the comics veto. And,
yes.
And Casey, all of level 6 was playing, and they came in first, second, third, and fourth place, respectively. So, pretty good showing in the comics veto here.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. I honestly, a 2 minute run is very impressive. And it really doesn't look good for Haley that she did it in 18 minutes. That's real bad. Like, she's like, it's do or die. I'm going to win this veto. Oh, wait, no, I'm going to get like one of the worst times.
Yeah. How did Casey do it in 2 minutes? I don't understand that.
I know. That seems really quick.
Super
for this
power.
Well, it was. I think the explanation is that it was a balance beam instead of like the like climb up a ladder and do the zip line that the comics usually is.
That would make
so
sense.
Yeah. So I'm guessing it was just like running across back and forth across the balance. I think they've done enough long competitions that they were like, let's make this one a little quicker. But nevertheless, 2 minutes is a very good time, I think, regardless of, you know, of the comp structure. I'm definitely interested to hear what all the other times were as well. But this is Casey's fifth competition win in 5 weeks. Paris, you did not win many competitions in your season for a while, at least. Do you think that this might be Casey's undoing? Because we know that Tyler wants to take Casey to the end, or at least wanted to take Casey to the end at some point. But if she keeps winning competitions, as well as having a pretty good social game, is Tyler going to decide you know what, maybe I can't take Casey to the end. And will that be a really bad thing for her?
Honestly, I think right now would be the time to be winning comps. I think, in my opinion, top eight, top seven is probably when you want to be building your resume anyways. And yeah, there is a downside that you are going to become a target. But at that point, if you leave it to any later, you might not get the credit that you deserve if you end up winning final four HOH, final three HOH, as opposed to, like, let's say final five HOH. For some reason, there is weight put on that. And so I don't think it's a bad idea for her to start building your resume right now. Maybe three veto wins in a row is a little too many, because that kind of that sticks in your head a little bit. Like, hey, she's been winning a lot. Like, she's is the HOH and her third veto and a hacker comp. So I think maybe she needs to tone it down a little bit. Maybe next week, if she doesn't absolutely have to win, she shouldn't. But I do think at final eight is probably the time that you do want to start building your resume. So not a bad idea. It's just you got to be a little bit not so Erica about it, you know?
Yeah. Well, she there in the last six competitions, Casey has won four of them. Four out of the six six competitions have been
too much.
Casey victories. It is a lot, Melissa. Well, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah. Plus, I feel like they're in situations where she doesn't need to win it. Like this one where she's HOH, like she doesn't need to win that. She's safe no matter what. I could see a situation where it's like, yeah, if you don't know if you're safe or not, you might as well just win and not worry about the consequences of, like, am I winning too much? Do I need it? I don't know. But if you don't need it and you're safe for the week, then, like, let it go. Like, let somebody else take it. I mean, I understand, like, way down the stretch being like, you know what, it's better safe than sorry. I'm just going to win. But at this point, when she knows she's HOH, or she knows that, like, her ally is HOH and there are other targets, you know, that need to get taken out before her, I just feel like it's too much. It's too much all in a really quick little period. And I have a feeling that people are going to start really looking at her. Like, if there's ever a situation where she's vulnerable for a week, they might as well just be like, look, we're never going to get this opportunity again. We might as well just take the shot now. So that's not something you want people to be thinking about you about.
I do think that one thing that helps her out a lot is the Tyler and Angela showmance, because I think without that, Brett and JC, who have been talking about targeting Angela and Casey as a pair, they want to target Angela because of her connection to Tyler. But if they weren't connected, I think at this point they would be 100% gung ho about taking Casey out. But because Tyler and Angela are in a showmance, I think that no matter what, they're going to choose to eliminate Angela, even though Casey is sitting there having won so many competitions, being a lot more likable than Angela, not having the jury hate her. She definitely is a much bigger threat, but it does seem like Brett and JC would rather take the shot at Angela, just to make sure that that Tyler is not distracted, so JC can not have to be jealous anymore. I think that's the motivation, right, Ferris?
Yeah, I mean, I think just them, Angela and Tyler, being together all the time is really blinding everybody else, because at the end of the day, both of them win comps, and them being together so much is just taking the target off everybody else's back and putting it on them. And that's kind of why I said I think Haley should have stressed that, because everyone's been saying it so much lately, like with JC even commenting on, like, her running from the bed to the couch. Like, people see that, right? So I feel like maybe the angle for the next couple of weeks for Casey should also be to just to push for one of the showmans to go home, because, yeah, she's winning comps, but as long as there is a duo they can back each other up week after week, yeah, you probably want to go after that.
Yeah. Another thing that has been going on is that Tyler has been trying to drop hints to Casey. Hey, Brett's been talking about targeting you. JC's been talking about targeting you. Just so you know, they're blaming each other for it, but Brett is in on this and he's not telling you about it. And Casey seems to be very set in her ways of, nah, Brett's not going to betray us. It's level six. He's loyal. We're loyal. It's level six to the end. It feels a little bit like she's got the loyalty blinders on. This is what we were concerned about from the very start with Casey, in terms of a lack of killer instinct. Melissa, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's really concerning. I mean, I understand it in the beginning where it's like, you know, this is my alliance. We have so many other people in house. They have their own alliances. Like, I'm for the alliance. But I feel like now is the time when you need to start thinking about yourself and what's best for you in this game. And like someone mentioned earlier, you don't really see Casey in the diary room talking about what's best for her. You saying like, you see her saying, let's go level six. Like, we got this. I'm winning for my team. It's a team win. And I don't think she realizes is that, you know, she needs to be thinking about herself and her position within level six, because it's not a team sport. This isn't a game where your alliance wins in the end. One person wins in the end. And if you're not thinking about yourself, then someone else is going to step in and think about themselves first.
Yeah, you really have to watch out for that, especially because, you know, now, like, looking down to it, we know that Brett has a final two with Tyler, but we also know that he's a little bit worried about Tyler in the final two. But I have to imagine that if Brett stays in the game somehow and Angela's gone, I think that Casey would be his next target. Let's assume that heading into this double eviction, JC or Brett win the HOH. They do manage to take Angela out of the game, and then the other one wins the next HOH or something along those lines. I think Casey's the target at that point. She's won so many competitions. She's so likable, mm-hmm. and I don't know how she survives the block there, Melissa.
Yeah, definitely. I think Casey could be totally vulnerable, and I think that it's not really crossing her mind. And I think that it's disappointing because I could see a really good player in her. I just don't know if she recognizes that she needs to play as an individual and that it's not always just with everyone else. And what's best for the group is what's best for me. It's like, no, you can think about what's best for the group for sure, but your priority needs to be getting you to the end and you winning this game. And I don't know if I see that for her, unfortunately.
We do have a question from James on Twitter who wants to know, could Casey still make a big move by backdooring JC or Brett? Or are we basically going to see Haley go out, then Brett or JC? So, I mean, we're talking about this. Casey is in danger, even in the double eviction. Say if Angela mm-hmm. wins the veto, or if Tyler wins the veto and saves Angela, or although they might be safe in that instance. But if Angela wins the veto and Casey is left on the block after JC or Brett take a shot, then we could again see potentially Casey leave the house. So should she be making a move here? Even without considering the double eviction stuff, just is this the right time to take a shot at Brett or JC, especially getting the information from Tyler? She knows that they're coming for her and Angela. Paris, what do you think? Should she make the move here and rock the boat, or should she just go along with getting Haley out?
I mean, if I were her, but I mean, right now I feel like I have like an all knowing view because I see what's happening. So I don't know if this is clear to her, but if I had people coming for me, I for sure would be making a move. At the same time, though, you've also had Haley that's been gunning for her, and Haley can come to her and say all she wants, but Haley did put her up. So it's a hard one. I think the only good thing about Haley is that she hasn't been the best in comps. Obviously, she's won some, but she also doesn't have anybody else, and everybody's coming for her. Whereas, like, if Brett or JC come for Casey, I don't know if she's even going to see that coming. Even though she's kind of been given little hints, I feel like she's just going to go over her head. So I don't think she's going to make the move, but I don't think it'd be a bad idea to. I just don't really see her thinking of making that move, or anyone else. I mean, I guess Tyler would maybe put it in her head. I just feel like I couldn't see her making that move. I don't know in what scenario mm-hmm. she would be like, well, I threw Haley up there, but let's actually get rid of JC.
Yeah, I think you're right. I definitely do not see that it will happen. Should it happen? Mm-hmm. Maybe. I think if Casey leaves in the double eviction, we will look back and say, probably. but, you know, it might not happen as well. And so, and you know, we know that she has Haley. She has Haley.
She's got her.
She definitely got
her. I think she should
Haley.
Use that, though. I do think she should use that. I think that she should make a deal with Haley and be like, and keep Haley around. And I think that Haley has no one. She could be loyal to Casey. Casey could then have Haley still in the house. So that way Tyler and Angela are like, oh, shoot, we still need to go after Haley because she's coming after us. So they still will have to get through Haley to get to Casey, even if they're angry with Casey for keeping Haley around. I just feel like, and he, now she knows that if she makes this deal with Haley, that the only people who would be coming after her are like JC and Brett because of what Tyler has said. So if she puts JC on the block, say, and that way it's not going against level six. She's not going against her own teammates. She can, you know, explain that and be like, look, like JC is not part of our alliance. I don't see why we're trying to keep him around. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there could be a move there if she can get Haley on her side, which I think Haley would totally go on her side because Haley has no one else and Haley would basically do anything. So yeah, it's that would have been an exciting move to see. I do not see it happening, but it would have been exciting.
Yeah.
100%. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, yeah. Well, I just, you know, I mean, even in the sense of even if she doesn't feel like she's in danger in the double eviction, she should be wanting to protect Angela. Angela is a great ally for her. And also, I know we talk about Casey maybe being able to beat Tyler, but she should be wanting to take Angela just like Tyler should be wanting to take Angela. It would be a slam dunk against Angela. You know, if a stray bullet happened to hit Tyler, I think they would take each other. So, you know, it's, I know this is far beyond, I think, what Casey would ever even think about, but, it's stuff I wish she was thinking about.
I think you're right.
Oh, go ahead.
I think the fact that is like one of the most powerful things that you could give somebody or do in the house is give the person that thinks that they're going home a lifeline. They will always owe you. Haley, like you said, Melissa, Haley has nobody in the house. So, you know what? If Casey were to give her a lifeline, I genuinely do feel like she would be loyal to her because she has nobody else. Who is she going to be loyal to? And then Casey has somebody, as you said, Melissa, that is going to be a shield for her because Level still wants to get rid of her. And then you have Casey probably staying an extra week because of that. Haley being a target still remaining in the house and Haley being super loyal to her. So if Haley ever wins, probably not going to put Casey up. Mm-hmm. But as you guys said, we're likely not going to see it happen. So
yeah,
it's not even speculating.
We got a question from Heather on Twitter who wants to know, who do you think is in the best/worst place going into the double on Thursday? So who's in the best spot going into the double? Who is in the worst spot? Melissa, start with you. What do you think?
I feel like, oh, that's tough because it really is dependent on how everything shakes out. I would have said Casey is in the best spot, but now it's, you know, it's hard to say because of all these comp wins, you might see someone be like, look, this is our one shot to take her out. So normally I would say Casey, but I, at this point, probably best position, Tyler. Worst position, probably Sam or JC, I think, because I could see someone being like, let's get Sam out. It's the easy move. We, you know, she doesn't really help any of us. Let's just get her out, which like I'd probably prefer. But, you know, also people could be like, why don't we take the shot at JC? What's Sam going to do to us? JC is, you know, causing trouble, especially now that Casey knows that JC and Brett have been talking about her. And I'm sure Angela knows, you know, it's I think that now that I've talked through it, I think best case, best position, Tyler, worst position, probably JC.
All right. Paris, do you agree?
I think definitely best position is Tyler, which is weird because I remember doing the ranking with Matt, I think in week 3, and we're talking, he's like, oh no, he's not gonna be able to keep that up. And everyone was kind of agreeing that like, oh, he's playing so hard, so fast. Like he's doing a lot right now. He's not going to be able to make. And I was like, you know what? I feel like he is. And I'm surprised to be saying this, but I also am not surprised to be saying this. He is probably in the best position in the house. I don't see anyone touching Tyler for the next little while. And I would say I'm not too sure about worse, only because I feel like JC and Brett are really on to Tangela right now. But maybe JC, I honestly, I don't know. I don't know if I could tell you. I'm not quite sure who the worst position. Maybe Sam, but I just feel like maybe in a double, that'd be kind of a waste. I feel like they would just think, yeah, let's keep dragging her along.
It's a tough call. I think you guys are right. That Tyler, I don't see any scenario where Tyler goes home in the double eviction. Mm-hmm. Obviously, anything is possible in Big Brother, but right. In terms of, you know, scenarios I can cook up based on common sense, I don't see a single situation where Tyler goes home. I think that, you know, looking at it, there are going to be are there going to be 6 or 5 people playing in the HOH? They're down to 7 right now, right? So one is going to leave. There'll be 5 people playing. Mm-hmm. 2 of them, Brett and JC, I think they would both target Angela. Angela would be the target there. I think if Tyler or Angela won, I think Tyler would target Brett. I think he would try to get Angela to target Brett, but she would want to target JC. So mm-hmm. we've got like 1.5 people for Brett and like maybe 0.5 a person for JC. And then Sam is sort of the backup target if anything goes wrong, I think, in any of those situations. And then if Sam won, I don't know. I really don't know what happens if Sam wins.
No idea.
Yeah, seriously. And speaking of, you know, oh, I don't know how long this person can pull it off. There's no way that this is going to happen. That's how we all felt about you during your season, Paris, from the beginning, when it was like you were playing all the different sides. And we were like, there is no way this is going to be she's going to be able to keep this up. There's no way she's going to be found out next week. Like, we were like, we love what's going on right now with the way that she's like able to, you know, maneuver between these groups. But there is no way this is happening all season long. And then it did. And I feel like it's a similar situation with Tyler, where it's like, the first week, me especially, I was like, there is no way he's going to be able to pull this off. Like, this guy is going to be found out in a heartbeat. And then look at him now. He's still in a great position and nobody's even thinking to target him. So, you know, it just happens like that.
You never know. Yeah.
You really never know.
There's obviously a little bit of luck involved, but I definitely had that feeling about Tyler. And I mean, he's so popular that I could never be like, well, I told you guys he was going to win this season, because like everyone's been saying that. So, like, what's new about that? But I genuinely felt like as soon as I saw his, like, I think it was like his ET Canada interview, I was like, this kid, like, you know, he seems like he's actually going there and play. And then he did, you know, he went into level 6, being at the bottom of the totem pole. He climbed his way up to being basically the leader of that alliance. He has made a ton of final 2 deals that he hasn't been caught in. And mm-hmm. I think he's playing a great game.
Yeah, I know there are some people in the chat saying they think Sam would target Angela, which might be true. I think Angela would definitely go up on the block if Sam won in the double mm-hmm. eviction. However, who does she put Angela next to? Probably not Casey and Tyler. And if that's the case, then Casey and Tyler control the votes and they probably vote out whoever goes up next to Angela. So she would need to put up Angela and Casey in order to get Casey to go home. I don't know if she would do both of those things, especially with Tyler in her ear. So I really don't know what happens with Sam. I think anybody except for Tyler could go home with the Sam HOH. But so ultimately, I think actually Angela is in the most amount of danger heading into the double eviction, followed by Brett, and then very closely followed by JC. And then I think Sam is a backup plan for basically anybody. So I did just name 4 people, but I did rank them at least. So any of them could. And Casey is another backup plan, but she's a backup plan for less people. So I feel like she's probably the second safest, but still in a little bit of danger here. You know, so it's it really could go any way here. I think it'll be an exciting double eviction coming up, Melissa.
Yeah, I feel like normally with the double evictions, you can kind of narrow it down to like maybe 2 people that you're like, okay, if it's not this person, it's going to be this person likely. And this time I feel like it really could go with anybody. Like, I really don't have a set picture in mind as to like who are the 2 people who are going to be walking out the door. So it's going to be really exciting to see.
Yes. All right. Anything else? Let me know if you guys have any questions in the chat. Any other topics we need to bring up here? What do you think about Brett's endgame here, Paris? Well, if you were in Brett's spot, because he's in, I think, one of the trickier spots here. He's in level 6. He's been loyal to them for a long time, but he knows he's on the outs. He knows he's number 4. He knows he's going to be the first one picked off. He knows that Angela and Tyler are in our relationship, and that Casey is just, you know, Casey, and he doesn't, he wants to take Casey to the end. So he's got JC. They're talking about making a move against Angela. Like, what is the right way to get to the end if you're Brett?
To be honest with you, this season I've like really, I used to always, I know this is weird, but like vicariously almost like play as the players. Like before I was on myself, I'd be like, hey, if I was like this player, this is what I would do. This year, I feel like because I came off of Big Brother, I've just kind of like not even been trying to strategize in my head in any way for them. So to be honest with you, I'm probably speaking out of, I'm just kind of deciding on the spot, but I'm thinking maybe his best chances are against someone like Angela. I don't know. I feel like he needs to break that showmance up, but at the same time, like you said, he's in such a tricky spot. I don't even know what the right move for him would be. I just feel like probably having Tyler and Angela be so close is not the best for his game. Mm-hmm. But to be honest with you, I'm not quite sure how he should go about it. Because I feel like if he were to get rid of, how would he have to go about that? Like get rid of Tyler first and then maybe like, I don't know. I have no idea how he would go about it, to be honest with you. I just think he needs to probably break up that showmance.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, I think the answer for most people, like how to do the best thing for their game would be to target Tyler at this point, because he's at the center of everything. But nobody's doing it. So it's like, well, how do they play around Tyler? It's like, well, is it even possible? I don't know.
I guess the one good thing that Brett also said that I thought was a great idea was kind of how I wanted to go about it when I cut Derek was, in my head, I was thinking Derek got rid of Olivia, Johnny, and I think, was it Ryan? Ryan went on his HOH as well, right? So he got rid of like three people on the jury. And so in my head, I was thinking, if I'm able to get rid of Derek, then I feel like I can gain the votes of people that he sent home. And Brett kind of had something similar in his, you know, going on. He said, I want to get rid of Angela because I know how much people don't like her in jury. And maybe that way I'm able to gain their vote. And I kind of feel like it might work with the Hive. I feel like they're emotional. I feel like they're going to be a little bit bitter. And I feel like that might not be the bad, like the worst way to go about it. But I'm not quite sure at that point who he would go up against in a final two and what his chances would be. Because it's probably easier to go up against someone that's not so well liked. But I guess we'll see.
All right. Anything else you guys want to mention before we wrap this up?
Not really. I think we covered it.
We have a great podcast here. We start with with nonsense talking about nonsense, and we got some good strategy talk in here by the end as well. So we're doing our best.
Yeah, more strategy talk than the actual episode.
Yeah, we had some filler and some actual substance as well. As opposed to the episode.
Yeah, I was surprised. I'm like, what are we going to talk about with this episode? But hey, we made it work.
Yeah, yes. We know how to put together a good episode.
All right. So, of course, as I mentioned earlier, you can find me tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, where I will update you on everything that went down today on the feeds. The roundtable on Tuesday. You got, another episode recap on Wednesday and then Thursday night. Rob will be back. So don't worry about that. Of course, the American Ninja Warrior season finale will be tomorrow night. And Lita and I will be we'll be covering it, so make sure you check that out. Lots of fun with American Ninja Warrior. You can find me on Twitch at Taryn, or just Taryn Armstrong is where I'm on Twitch. Paris, what are you up to? Where can people find you?
Yes. Oh no, all my handles are so different. I'm on Twitter as BBCamParisA. I'm on Instagram as Paris Atashnak, I think. It's just my first and last name. And that's kind of it for me. I don't have a cool show or anything, but you know, I got some decent pictures here and there. And I talk a lot about like Big Brother 20. So maybe, I don't know, maybe you'll find me on Twitter. That's probably the better call.
There you go. And you can find.
Thanks for having me on.
Yes. Thank you for coming on. This was yes. Fantastic. So, awesome. So great to talk to you.
Thank you so much. I really liked it.
Yes.
Hopefully we'll do one soon.
All right, definitely. Okay, so you can find Melissa and I on Twitter as well. Melissa's at It's Melissa with three A's. It's three A's. that's how long three A's sound in real life.
Right. Yeah.
And you can find me at Armstrong Taryn on Twitter. So thank you everyone for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
I will see you next time.
Melissa, you have such beautiful eyes.